Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Sorry we're a little late tonight. Hope everybody's on board. Tonight's show. Well, first let me say hello to my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening, everybody. I'm sure glad to be here.
Yes, Bronnie's in Las Vegas, and so we're very excited. We should be together, but we couldn't make it tonight, but we got to be together last night. So
fun. Wasn't that fun?
It was wonderful.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, tonight's show, The Shadow Continues, Sex, the Second Chakra, and the Shadow.
Wow. That's a small subject, hey?
And what?
That's a small subject.
You know, I wrote the show tonight and started laughing, and I thought, gee, I wonder if I have enough material. So tonight we're going to discuss the relationship between sex and the second chakra and the shadow and why and how it's becoming more relevant than ever as we move through the ascension process. We're going to share some real fascinating and provocative information tonight. By the way, for those of you that got the notice, I did not spell provocative properly. There's no spell check on my website.
It was a test.
Listen, I have screwed up more titles. Okay, so tonight's show dedication, and I felt that this was really powerful, and, you know, for those of you that may not have been listening very often, what we know is that when we're all together and we make a commitment and dedicate energetically to something, we're seeing shifts, and this is just part of the process of us all realizing how much impact we can have on our planet. So tonight I'd like to bring forward the best political candidate at this time for the highest good of our country and this planet. And I know that many people are confused at this time as we go through the political process. So I really advise everyone to start looking at these people and asking your guides and star friends to help you to see with clear eyes the most appropriate person for you to add your energies to. This is more than about political parties, and it's more than political rhetoric. It's about whose energies are the clearest and most unfettered with on and off planet interference. And, you know, I really feel that everyone looking right or listening tonight has been working on themselves and working on their energies. And certainly when you're listening to the show, the energies and frequencies are coming right into your home through your computers. And so I would also encourage you, if you're looking for any kind of healing or opening, you're welcome to ask for that and ask for assistance in creating that. Remember, they won't do it for you. They will do it with you. And I want to also remind you not to underestimate how much influence you can have in this election beyond your vote. And I'm just going to give an example. I was having a session on me the other night by someone that I work with, and during the session we were working in my energy field, and they asked me to look at a candidate. This was Tuesday night, so of course it was the primaries. And when they mentioned a specific candidate's name and I looked, they said, look in her brain. And the minute I did, I could see actual beings in there. And it was absolutely frightening. And then we had to clear the energy out of my energy field because I picked it up instantly. And Veronica, you and I talked about this. You know, I hesitate mentioning who this was on the air. But I just encourage everyone now to start looking with different eyes.
But how can we be sure, you know, like, what I mean is I think all of them have influence, don't you? I know, that's sort of tricky.
Well, that was a risk. Where's your shotgun? That was a loaded question. Yes, everybody does have influence, but it's not all dark and it's not all light.
Right.
I would say that there are specific candidates that have really stood behind the light side of this, and there are others that have definitely been influenced. And I'm just going to share a small story here before we kind of get into the meat of the show. And that's that we were working on someone the other day who has tremendous influence and is also involved from a financial standpoint in the political arena and putting a lot of energy into what's happening politically in the country. And we found something in them that if you wanted to relate it to the Illuminati, you could. And needed to completely take it out and do a lot of cleanup and so on and so forth. Now, I've not ever been one that has, you know, really waved this flag, but I can tell you that when we saw it, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And are those influences out there when people can have political sway? Yes. Is everybody clean enough to be able to stop them? There are some people who've done a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It's a tricky path. I trust in everyone who's listening to the show tonight to, instead of being in your heads with this, really be in your hearts with it. And ask for guidance. I mean, this is the way we're going to have to start doing things on the planet anyway. The old ways have really not worked.
Right.
So, and it's part of our responsibility for who we are and what we came here to do. And I would really encourage people not to underestimate how much influence you can have. You know, call on your guides, ask them to assist you. Call on your star families and friends. They're waiting for us to take responsibility. Remember that there are protocols on this planet. They have now bypassed, you know, there are many races that have met with our government. And
you mean races that are extraterrestrial?
Absolutely. And they tried because that would be the normal protocol. These are the people that we've elected. And they went to them and tried to negotiate with them and did many things with them and found that unfortunately, based on our current evolution and the involvement, you know, that these different political people had, that they went to the abuses of power and instead of doing the right thing for the country and using the information and the technologies and so on. So they now are working on an individual basis because they realize that this is the only way. Okay, they see now that as a political body that we have been misled in many, many ways and there's other kinds of interference.
So when you say they're working on an individual basis, that means beings are working with key individuals? Is that what you're saying?
With all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that's listening tonight is being worked with.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, they so choose to be worked with. And they're waiting for us to ask for guidance and assistance, again, not to do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly to join with us. If we ask for help and assistance in understanding more or in making better choices, you know, where they're
asking
able to...
for evidence and direction.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's really time to start getting comfortable with those processes.
Mm-hmm.
And to realize that you know, it's really up to us. You know, to start changing the tide on the planet into doing it in a different way than we've ever done it before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, historically, Americans have felt like they couldn't really make a difference. You know, that it was all done in a whole different way, that it's all polluted and it's all... But, you know, if we continue to do that, if you look at what's going on in our country today, we're in big trouble.
But if we feel that sometimes there are beings offshore, if you will, or off the planet that are having a lot to say in the consciousness of people who are leaders, it can feel very overwhelming, can't it?
yes, and I you know, I'm gonna refer you back to a session that we did a couple of weeks ago, where we actually encountered a member, an off-planet member of what you would call the Illuminati.
Okay.
And through that session, that being, first of all, could not figure out how we got there.
Right.
Neither could we. But we did. And this being awakened in that moment and changed its allegiance. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have come to the conclusion that there's nothing that we can't do at this point, at this juncture.
I believe that, too.
Okay, but we have to start believing that we can, owning that we can, and that we're not small little beings on this planet. The whole goal right now is for us to remember who we are and that we're powerful beyond our imagination. And feeling small and feeling like we don't have impact is the last thing we want to do right now.
Right. And there's another thing, too, which is we get great clues even just feeling the person's name when a person is running, a candidate. We get that kind of queasiness or a kind of a lump in the gut and so on, we know that, you know, our intuition is talking loudly to us about.
Well, I mean, you can look at any of the people in political office today and pay attention. I don't know how many times I have heard the comment from people about certain people in Washington that they cannot stand to look at their face.
Yeah.
Okay? This is a real good indicator that somebody wasn't paying attention. You know, well, I mean, not, I won't say somebody, but that, you know, we weren't.
Who was that somebody?
Well, you know, that we may have gotten caught up in their rhetoric or their promises or, you know, whatever, or the fact that they belonged to one party or another.
And ignored the kind of other messages that we're getting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know, Veronica, you see the same thing energetically. It's really time for us to start looking at things in a whole different way.
Well, I think you just said something really amazing. Of course, you always do, Jackie.
Yeah, right.
But I was just thinking how when you meet a being of questionable influence, and then with a really strong intentional prayer or light, the person shifts, right? So, like, it's stepping forward and feeling those limiting thoughts and those fears of what the person might be on about, and then really radiating or really presenting, you know, both love and high frequency.
That's the only way that we can really change it.
Yeah.
And whether it is
battleground.
Sorry?
That's the battleground.
That's it. It really begins with us in terms of how much love can we radiate, how much light can we radiate, whether it's to someone in political office or, you know, what we perceive to be something off-planet that could be uncomfortable, it changes. We are we are more powerful than we know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be clear and clean when we do it. It can't be done with fear. It has to be done with love.
You know what? I call this what we're talking about.
You call it what?
My politics. I just say it's our politics. It's our new kind of politics.
It is our new kind of politics. That's a great way to put it, Veronica.
Yeah.
And it's the politics of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's the politics of light. Yeah. And, you know, you can't, Lazarus has said this for years, you can't fix this floor. It's a mess. You've got to create a new floor.
Right.
Only way you create a new floor is with a whole new way of doing things.
Right.
If you try to go back into the same arena and do it the way you've always done it, it's never going to change. So with all that being said, let's hop into tonight's subject. let's start with the second chakra. Veronica and her partner Bob and I had dinner last night. We had a very good time. Gee, we had fun.
It was delightful, yes. And good food.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was excellent. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the second chakra, and Ronnie very offhandedly said, well, you know, that's the shadow, right? And I said, well, absolutely. Now, I know that, but what was very funny is that I already knew tonight's subject was going to be about sex. But your kind of offhanded comment was so perfect because That's really what it's all about. And we've spent so much time in these power retrievals now in the second chakra, clearing out and cleaning out and finding things that are just beyond astounding at this point. And this is where all the contracts are. You know, when we, in a power retrieval, when you get, you know, through the chakras and, you know, and you get to the back of the body, the backside of the sacral center is where these, this orb comes out of this opening, a Metatronic channel, and underneath it are all these tentacles that are woven into all of these dark contracts, what we would call dark. Dark in that they are learning contracts, they are agreements for learning. So we would call them, I'll call them dark only because they're, you know, not necessarily easy.
The challenge, yeah.
Yes, the ultimate challenge. And this is an ever-evolving thing. I have come to the conclusion that every time I think I've got a grip on things, I know nothing. This stuff is evolving so rapidly that I, it's like living in pure science fiction all the time.
Because of the number of influences that are going on in our subconscious and shadow, right? Well, it's interesting talking about the political thing and the influences that are unseen there. I mean, we're all experiencing that even from the second chakra, aren't we?
We are. This is where we're clearing out past lifetimes, influences of past lifetimes, cosmic lifetimes, and, you know, Ronnie, if you want to talk here about what you saw yesterday, this is kind of a perfect place to do it because it's, I mean, I'll leave it up to you, but this is a very interesting dynamic.
Well, I wonder if I should keep the names a secret. I guess it doesn't matter a whole lot. But deep within, we were working on my power retrieval, and I wanted to retrieve the whole entire patriarchy and God, remember?
Yes.
And that's because when I was seeking intuitively who to retrieve power from myself, that means the way I've exchanged power with other beings, I kept thinking of all the males in my history, whether it's the patriarchy, authority, or individuals, whether it's this life, another life, my father, my partner, my husband, whatever, the various beings that have been in. So we settled on poor old Bob, my dear, wonderful partner, representative of God and the patriarchy, right?
Right. Well, I wouldn't call him poor old Bob, but I think what they had recommended was that you find someone who you had a very long cosmic history with.
That's right. That's right. And I certainly have. And so anyway, we saw in his second chakra, we saw an aspect of myself, a whole being, which was me, and it was not of this particular human species, but was, I think Jackie was hiding, was safer with him than me because of my self-judgments.
Yes, absolutely.
So we brought her back to me, and I've been very tender with her, but so on. It was so intriguing. But beyond that, there were all these interesting chains and metaphors of containment and restriction in there, in Bob, that came from many lifetimes and that hold him back. And remember, there was battlefields. There was incredible stuff in there, behind which there was other consciousness. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes, because whenever you're working on Bob, Bob and I, for whatever reason, are very connected. And even during his sessions, they pull me in because there's some parallel between he and I. I haven't figured it all out yet. But I was very conscious of what was going on with him. And tell about this being, because this was so fascinating.
About which?
The being that was in Bob. Are you willing to do that?
Yeah, I think it's all right. It was behind all of this other fairly dramatic material that we were moving out of Bob's second chakra, there was suddenly over the horizon, and of course it's like a science fiction thing, it looked like a massive horizon, there was consciousness unfolding up over that, as if there was a being of consciousness there, and I knew it was observing, participating, and so on. And I couldn't figure out quite what it is, but I was just conscious of consciousness. And Jackie and the team said it was Bob's contract with this consciousness. And then as we examined that further, and I don't think we were meant to actually remove the consciousness.
Oh, absolutely not.
No, but behind it was this incredible opus. There was this kind of vault that was sacred geometric shape, moving into a rather, kind of a temple, a huge room, a huge temple-like room. And I was stunned. I knew that we had entered some kind of connection place or study hall or the metaphor of some kind of study, what I mean, a place that we would go that we shared with the consciousness. Oh, my, I haven't gotten to the end of that yet inside of myself. Have you?
I'll give it in a as brief as I can. And at some point, the team has told me we're going to do an intensive on this because this is kind of the tip of the iceberg of a whole other level of where we're going. This being shares with Bob as an observer. And at what level of participation, neither of us know, obviously. But this being, the hall was the hall of learning or the hall of, Bob is a scientist, an amazing being, and brings forward very cutting edge information. So in essence, they are learning through Bob, sharing with Bob, observing through Bob. This was so amazing, and I know that people are wondering, well, what's this got to do with sex? But we'll get there. but it was an extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. It is not the first time that we have encountered during a session an additional consciousness in the second chakra that was supposed to stay there. I thought yours was so amazing because here was one that needed to be with you but had not felt safe enough to come in, and then another which was, in fact, supposed to be with Bob and barely actually showed itself, if you remember, Veronica, initially as just an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it?
Well, that was one that turned into me was eyes.
Well, that's what it was. Okay.
But the Hall of Learning, I know that we all are I know I'm participating in that as well.
Yes, yes. And this is, like I said, tip of the iceberg here. Mm-hmm. So
we're learning something about where all of this originates or where the...
Okay, so now we get into what has this got to do with... And because we really are dealing in the shadow in the second chakra, the things that are unknown, also the gifts and treasures, as well as some of the dark stuff
that
needs to come out. There are things that need to come out, and then there are things that need to stay.
Like the chains that were so representative of restraint that came from cellular history of destruction and loss.
Very much so, and Bob has a very powerful cosmic history that he's been aware of in lots of ways, as you know better than I do, Veronica. So let's go to the sexual side of this, because this is another level of responsibility that we're now moving into. Every time you have sex with your partner, with a man, a person, a male or female, you're hooking into all the stuff in their shadow. And all the stuff that they've hooked into with other people. Now, this has been bantered around for a long time. This is not new information, but now we're looking at it from a whole new level of responsibility, because we're all in the process of wanting to heal and clear, and especially clear the shadow. This is spiritual imperative. This is not optional work. In order to ascend, in order to get where we're going, we have to work in the shadow. This is it. This is what we're doing, clearing all the karmic stuff, all the stuff out, so that we can hold the greatest amount of light and be the most effective that we can be on this planet.
So we're not just beings of product. We're open to create. Yeah.
Oh, and as we clear this stuff, mm-hmm. we can finally love ourselves in a way that will allow us to step forward, to do our great work, to allow in all the wonders, the prosperity, the ease, the joy, the love, all of the things that we came here to anchor on this planet. You know, to hold that resonance for others, to make that map so others can walk through more easily. I mean, we're all map makers in this respect. I mean, Todd Lazarus has talked about this for as long as I can remember, 25 years. And never have I understood that concept more than I do today. So, you know, and I'm just going to give an example. I was with a man years ago. this was in 90, from 91 through 90, early part of 95. And he was very rich, very young, very handsome, significantly younger than I was, you know, with his own planes and this and that and the other thing, and had, a tremendous number of sexual escapades, and which were pretty wild. And he had an ex-wife who had a very sordid past herself. This was, right out of Pretty Woman, okay? And I mean that literally. It took me years and years to clear energetically all the stuff from my second chakra that I picked up through this relationship. And the problem that I had was understanding what it all was. It was just so mired. Now, I recognize that energetically, you know, I was very sensitive and so on and so forth, but there are a lot of people out there that may not have been as sensitive and still are trying to clear some of this stuff. But, Ronnie, you and I talked about this last night, and I'd love you to go into this, about how you can hook into their whole history, not only in this lifetime, but all the way back.
Yes.
And, you know, what do you see when you see this in people?
I think it's pretty interesting, because sometimes if people raise their fields and frequencies high enough, you know, they can move past it. But that takes a whole degree of consciousness, doesn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah, and most of us kind of thunder through and don't really understand that that's an option. Even as you were talking about picking political leaders, it is an option to move in through and clear things out, right?
Right.
And that my seeing in people is where I'm hiding, for example, or somebody is a dark feeling, and then you hook into someone else's like a rope from other lives where they had their own dark thing that they're going through, and then you both live it out. You kind of get to process their more negative situations. That's kind of how I experience it. And there's an awful lot of releasing required, you know, a lot of taking it out of people's bodies. But we don't know, you know, I always tell people, and I say this even on the radio, is when you have sex with somebody you really love, for heaven's sakes, take some time and do some
To do what?
Energy clearing right after.
And before.
Yeah. Yes. But even after, when you really love the person, still, you know what I mean? Still, especially when you don't care that much about somebody, you're taking big chances, huge chances. But even when you absolutely love the person, it's worth really clearing their stuff.
Well, I'm going to tell a story. I met someone back around Thanksgiving, and we both knew that we had, you know, a history. It was a very intense experience. We spent a tremendous amount of time together, and I was very clear. Well, I wasn't clear. I was on the fence and off the fence, on the fence and off the fence about actually consummating the relationship. And I knew that this person was very sexually active, had been very sexually active all of his life, probably had 1,000 women. And it was of a concern to me, and this person was also blowing wide open and having all kinds of experiences with the ETs. They were working on him at his home and all kinds of things were happening. It was just absolutely an exponential experience. Now, I had my own stuff, which after, you know, clearing all this stuff from my ex and having been celibate except for once, you know, for the last 12 years, I was terrified about having, a sexually intimate relationship because of my own history. So I had to get through that piece until I could then move on to what was this about for he and I, okay? Now, there was a lot of healing that took place between the two of us, but there was tremendous intimacy, and I got very clear, and I told him, this is going to be the one time in your life where you don't make a choice because of following your penis. You're going to follow your heart and your soul with me, or it's not going to work. And so we really blended on a heart and soul level and became very, very, very intimate on that level. And I knew that he would be leaving. I could see it even before he could, that he was going to be leaving and going back to his old life. And the question in my mind was, could he take all the knowledge that he had gained, and he was just devouring every CD I had and every book and everything he could, into his own life that he had known before, and, you know, would he then be able to take all this with him, integrate it, and then realize and make a choice of which way he wanted to go? And so I opted, and he did as well at that point. We both opted not to have sex. We knew when it finally all came clear that he was going to be leaving. But it was the most wonderful relationship in that we both gifted one another with a lot of healing. And, you know, if he ever comes back, if he makes that choice and nobody knows, then that's okay too. It was clean on both parts. I mean, he had his times, I had my times, and believe me, it's not that, you know, there wasn't a desire.
Right.
But it was so clean and so loving. And, you know, and I don't know if it was just about us coming together to help each other through his opening and my healing of the past, you know, and if that's what it was about, it was perfect. And if it's more, then that'll come about down the road. But I was very, very clear that I wasn't going to use sex as a manipulation, and I also knew that I didn't want to be manipulated through sex because it would be very easy because I bond at a very deep level. I'm clear about that with myself. And for all of you listening out there, we're becoming so sensitive now that sex now is taking on a whole new level of intimacy. Now, what's interesting to me is that I had a session today with someone, and 2 weeks ago, the team had told her that somebody was coming into her life almost right away, and that this was going to be different than she'd ever experienced and so on. And sure enough, like 3 days after her session, she was introduced to someone. And like myself, she's a very sexual, very powerful woman, and has been sexually active and done a lot of work with, you know, high spiritual sexuality and so on. And
you mean like Tantra?
Yes, and other, you know, other things. What was interesting is that she met this man, and he triggered an old relationship that had been the most damaging relationship and marriage in her life. He had some of the characteristics as the man I met did for my old relationship. And they did at one point have a sexual relationship one time, and then she backed off and she said, I don't want to do this. I want to develop this as a loving friendship and intimacy in a way I've never had before. And so she's in the process of doing that, and I asked permission to be able to tell this story tonight because I thought it was so profound that the blockages that she has had to her success and her prosperity and self-love are unwinding as we speak through this very intimate, very loving, very soul-bonding relationship that she's having. Now, whether or not it's for, you know, a day, a week, a month, a year, or a lifetime, we don't know any more than I know with the person that I was with. But the beauty of what I'm seeing is that this person has come in and is allowing her to unweave something that has held her back for years.
Mm-hmm.
And because she chose to do it from a very high perspective, what this is creating, and I mean, I just think it's absolutely beautiful.
I just want to say something about the graphics to just illustrate it. It's so interesting. It's like a deep within the belly or the second chakra, there's this like dark kind of rope thing, and then if a person engages in physical intimacy at that level and then the ropes hitch up, then you do live the karma. I'm watching this, and it's so unnecessary to do it that way, isn't it? That's what you're saying.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's coming together at a whole new level. You know, our frequencies and energies are raising along with, and sometimes ahead of the planet, because we're here to anchor as much light as we possibly can. So we have a new responsibility to ourselves, to our ascension and to our higher selves and our soul, and that of the other people that we're encountering now more than ever before. And I just want to say this. We're working, all of us, so much on healing the child and the adolescent and integrating them in because they are aspects of our psyche. When your child and adolescent know that you're going to show up for yourself and take care of you in a way that you've never done before, and take care of the other person, they are able to integrate in at a whole new level. And your adolescent who wants to just jump somebody's bones is not is no longer running the show.
Right.
So that you can, when if things are just coming in for a temporary encounter, when they walk away, you're not sitting there in a pile of damage.
Right.
For the first time, this is, to me, conscious relationships at a whole new level. Now, does this mean that we're supposed to deprive ourselves? I don't think that this is deprivation. You know, we're responding in a responsible way with the people that we encounter. And we're not just dealing with the physical anymore. We're dealing with that entire being and all their other selves, okay, as well as our entire being and all our other selves. And, you know, Ronnie, I know you've seen this. When my friend left, I had to start unweaving everything out of my energy field.
Right.
Because when you come together and you start bonding with someone, they start weaving into your field and vice versa.
Okay.
And I found that I was so sensitive, I was waking up at various times of the night and so on. I mean, we were actually having sexual encounters out of body. And so I needed to end that so that he could have his life and I could have him, so I wasn't being interrupted all the time in the dream state. Because I don't know what he's doing, although I do know. But I also want his privacy and mine.
But isn't that interesting? Because that is really a prime example of how we interact energetically with many people.
Oh.
I mean, this is more extreme because it's very intimate, even though you were physical. But the way we interact with human beings is what makes the collective so hard to shift, isn't it? I mean, we don't even know.
It absolutely is, and this is where we have to be, well, we have a choice. You don't have to be responsible, but I'm going to recommend it.
Yeah, you bet.
And it's also being conscious enough not to use sex as a tool or a manipulation.
Right.
Because everyone on this planet has done that at some time. And mostly because they're afraid. They either think they're not enough or they want to be loved. They're trying to get love. They're afraid of losing love. And somewhere in there, sex has been used as a tool.
Well, that's an exception, too. It's a sport of choice, right?
Well, well, the sport of truth, that's very good. You know, when we stand at this precipice where we're having an opportunity to heal not only our present lifetime, but our past lifetimes and our future lifetimes, it's, you know, and integrate in all of our pieces and parts, finally. It really says it's time to create conscious relationships with everyone, not only those that we're going to be sexually intimate with.
Right. The sex is the most extreme.
It is the most extreme, and, you know, and I think that this is, everybody has had sexual encounters. I would say most everyone. I won't say everyone. I hate to generalize. Sexual encounters when they walked away and did not feel good about them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually when you have not taken care of you, of your child and of your adolescent. I mean, as a young woman, not too young, but...
Well, you're still a young woman, Jackie.
Oh, yeah. Well, there have been times after my second divorce when I did have sexual encounters that left me feeling horrible, and I got very clear that casual sex was not my forte.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely could not do it. It just doesn't. It simply does not work for me. And that's just me. I won't speak for anyone else.
Well, just wait a minute now. What we're talking about tonight is if you want to engage in casual sex, you have to kind of be prepared to the fact that you're accessing other people's shadow material. You're adding to your own shadow as well. Now, I don't want to sound moralistic. I'm not trying to say that. Practically, almost physically, sub-physically, you're actually collecting.
You are collecting. And, you know, we had dinner with someone else last night, and they were talking about the fact that sex is an animal instinct. And it is.
It is, yeah.
Okay, but we're in the process of raising our animal natures into a much higher level of intimacy. And that doesn't mean that sex won't be wonderful and fabulous, and that it's not a blend, you can't have it be a blending of the soul and spirit consciously. But it's already that, it's just that we haven't been conscious of it before. Would you agree with that, Veronica?
Yes, but you know what I'm thinking of all of a sudden? I'm thinking of Rajneesh. Do you remember Rajneesh?
Yes.
And he thought that his teachings included this. I'm just throwing this in as a... an idea. But anyway, he thought that the thing is that you follow what it is you desire or what it is you want to do until you get tired of it. And you that way you work your way out of all the karma. So I'm saying that he went into the extreme other version of you have as much of it as you want so that you finally get done with it.
Yeah, but then you got to clean up the mess afterwards.
Exactly, but I don't know enough about him to know how he did that.
So...
But still, it was interesting because there's more than one approach here, you know.
Yeah, there is. Well, let's talk about, for a minute, sexual fantasies.
Okay.
And is there any harm in these? And, you know, as I was kind of putting my notes together tonight, I thought, well, there's an interesting subject. And every thought is a thing, and it lands somewhere in some alternate reality. Now, that's scary as hell, okay, when we realize that every thought we have is creating something somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying, again, as you said, not trying to be moralistic or create any guilt for people. But, you know, this is also where the problem with pornography lies, is that, again, you're dealing more with the lower frequencies and the animal nature. And
drives which carry on through your subconscious, drives which keep driving, right?
They do keep driving, absolutely. And we're kind of running late on time here, so there are a couple of other things I want to get into. One is the pipeline. And, boy, can I just tell you, this is so big. For all of you who, and it's really time to clean your pipeline out. The pipeline is all the things that you've desired and put out there at some level that you want. And a lot of people did, you know, for years, they wrote down, you know, this is what I want in a mate, and they had, you know, have their list of all these qualities, and, you know, half the people threw them away, maybe more than that, and said, well, I didn't get it, so to hell with it. Trust me, it's sitting in your pipeline. Okay? Now, I know because this last experience, I adore him, my friends in California reminded me that I had, Veronica, you know this one, I had stated very clearly and profoundly that there were three things that I wanted, and this person actually embodied those three things. Now, unfortunately, I was not specific enough about everything else, although, you know, he's fabulous, but it made me laugh that he just absolutely embodied these three things so totally that it was so glaring you couldn't miss it.
But do you know something? I have a funny one. This is very short. When I was single after my first marriage ended, I was joking and said, I want a next marriage, I'm going to have Big Wally the wall washer, because I didn't want to clean that much. Next thing I think about it, I'm married, and my husband, whenever he's frustrated, he cleans, he's scrubbing the walls, he's coming. Oh my gosh, I got Big Wally the wall washer, you know.
Now, we're laughing about this, everyone, but this is the absolute truth.
Yeah.
I am living in a house that 15 years ago, I put it out there that I wanted this house. I wanted this particular floor plan. This one's a little tiny bit different, but as Bob saw last night. And here I am 15 years later, and the team moved me to this house. It's a wonderful story about how I ended up here. But it was in my pipeline, and it was so firmly in my pipeline that it was almost scary. So if you're gonna work with the pipeline, and believe me, I'm not just talking about
the pipeline is the affirmation, is it the designing your reality?
Well, it if you use it metaphorically to go into meditation, go into this giant pipe and look at the things that are sitting in there that are things that you've declared you wanted, and clear them out if it's not what you want now.
Okay.
Because believe me, people, this is a time, oh my gosh, that manifestations are popping in out of the blue. So
it's be careful what you ask for, right?
Yes, be certain what, and go in and modify. You know, if you remember your list somewhere of this is what I want in a partner, and what you decided 5 years ago or 10 years ago may not be what you want to now. Right, more than likely. Go in and do your modifications. Do it in meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Get really clear and clear out the stuff that's sitting in there, these declarations that you may have made. And when your higher self will get exactly what you're doing. Trust me, they will cooperate.
Mm-hmm. So in clearing, it's just recognizing and getting it swept out, just sweep it out.
Literally, throw it out. Okay. You know, go in there with a great big giant cart and start loading stuff in that you don't want. Take it out. I mean, make it as real for you as possible.
Great. Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is big stuff. This is really big stuff. And, you know, this is a precursor to where we're going. We all know that through the ascension process that what we desire is going to manifest very quickly. This is the whole point of clearing up the way that we deal with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, how do you create the kind of relationship you really want? This is another piece, and, you know, it's a great question, and I'm going to tell you, the more healed that you are, the more you're going to attract a person who can resonate in your frequency.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be perfect. Please understand this.
Just like we aren't.
No, well, the person I was talking about today, who the team had told her this person was coming in, is in waste management.
Hmm.
Now, she's a major executive, and she's always hung out with major executives, and this man is absolutely adorable. She adores him. Okay, he's a wonderful being. And for the first time in her life, it absolutely does not matter.
Hmm.
But his resonance and the kind of person that he is so wonderfully safe and comfortable for her. And the first time in her life, she's really feeling that she can go through a tremendous healing process with someone. Now, let's go back to, and I want to add a couple of more things here. We're also going to be attracting people from a cosmic perspective that are going to come in. Not everybody, but I'm going to forewarn you in case this happens.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay, lots of people have huge issues one way or the other about reptilians. You may have a cosmic history of being something totally different and have had encounters that were less than pleasant with reptilians in history. Okay? Bear in mind, there's tens of thousands of different groups of reptilians. They're not all one. You may attract in someone with a very strong reptilian history when you have been very anti-reptilian and fall madly in love with them and then realize what you're dealing with. And the purpose of your coming together may be to heal, not only between the two of you, but on a much bigger scale, the breach that has occurred between the races. And I say this with great love, because of the level that we're working at right now, this is about integration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that won't discount that you've had human lifetimes with this person, but I don't want anybody freaking out when they realize, oh, my gosh, this person has a very strong reptilian history.
Okay, so what about this other part where we look at the reptilian in the vision, one that shows up, and then it actually becomes different with focus? You know, we've had that experience, too.
Okay.
What I mean is that it seems likely that in a deep perception, it's hard to maintain that point of view of being a reptilian or that identity.
It is, except that if you've had great judgment about it, more than likely it will show up for you so that you can heal that.
Right, okay. And then it will show up in a way that really jars you, probably.
Yes, and this is the reason I'm bringing this up, okay? And soulmates, Ronnie, I'm going to let you address this. We only have a few minutes, but... You know, this is a very little understood, because I have people who, you know, I want my soulmate,
mm-hmm.
Or my twin flame. And, you know, I don't know about you, but what I see out there is that we're here to mate souls. And, you know, you and Bob have a very unique relationship because you have such a long cosmic history.
Right.
But your relationship is not loaded with a lot of you know, great learning. It's lots of exploration, isn't it?
Well, and the guides call us soul allies, that we know each other. We have a tremendous respect for each other's soul journey. And that my experience, Jackie, is that when people come in with their soulmate situations, oh my gosh, two souls that are out of alignment on the earth can be dreadfully bumpy. They can push and pull each other and be mad because the person isn't what they felt deeply in their soul they were going to be this time, you know. It gets really crazy if you're out of sync. And I think looking for a soulmate is really hard. I also know people who claim to be twin flames who have suffered dreadfully in those relationships.
Oh!
So I think we got stung by that illusion about 15 years ago maybe. Remember, it was sort of really floating around.
Well, it still does.
So when people phone me and say, I want my soulmate, I say, I don't think so. Do you really want
to? Oh!
And it's just because you're so tied by what's unexpressed or unfinished, unfulfilled, and some yearnings, and oh my goodness, it can be really something.
Well, having done that once in my lifetime, I can tell you, you don't want it. Because you're absolutely right, you get really upset if they don't get it.
Yeah.
And it can create the most codependent relationship in the world. Because you're so invested in them finally waking up and getting who they really are, and it can be very twisted.
And apparently we have many soulmates, not just one. Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole agenda now has shifted because we're moving to such huge levels of integration that the people we're coming together are going to come together with now are going to be very different. I know there are a lot of people listening out there that have extraordinary relationships. And that realize that they are on an incredible path together and supported one another, and you know they're amazing.
And a deep dedication to change and expansion, evolution.
There are some listening also that have very challenging relationships, but have a very big agenda in terms of what they're working on together, whether both parties are aware of it or not. So.
Well, that's interesting, too, is how to become aware. Well, anyway,
okay,
that's a whole other discussion.
Yes, it is. And, Ronnie, I want you to tell people about your show coming up this Tuesday.
Oh, this Tuesday, Radiance by Design. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. It's a call-in show. It's 4:00 Tuesday, West Coast time. And 5 o'clock, I'm going to talk with two people. One is on Theta Healing, which is an interesting healing style, and another one has a retreat center in Costa Rica. So I'm splitting the show with two different people.
Okay.
And so tune in
Tuesday night at 4 o'clock and then 5 o'clock, right?
5 o'clock for Paradigm Shifters, yes.
Beautiful. And your website?
Is veronicaentwistle.com, no H in Entwistle, E-N-T-W-I-S-T-L-E.com.
All right, and mine, ethealing.com. And, again, I want to say that a piece of every one of you is in Veronica and I, and a piece of Veronica and I are in every one of you. It can be no other way. We really are all one.
Well, you know, Jackie, after the way we started the show about politicians and what's in them, I'm going, that final line has more impact now than ever before.
It's true. We love you all. We'll talk with you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Veronica, I love you.
I love you. Many blessings, everyone.
Good night. Good night.